This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, I'm looking for a clean source of renewable energy.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and notably missing in action is my co-host, Craig Stepp. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, welcome aboard. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Either way, we appreciate you giving us your time. Boy, do we have a great tech and science aspect covered on this show. I took the new Zoom H2 out on its inaugural audio tour. To break it in, I went to the Blue Sky Greenfield project put on by We Energies in north central Wisconsin. This is a public display of wind-generated power. Now, what could be cooler than getting up close to one of those generators nearly 400 feet tall? Once there, I waited for the local TV station to finish their turn and get out of the way, and then I got to talk with the manager of media relations and special projects, Barry McNulty from We Energies. Now, wind energy is one of the ways we can cut down on our carbon footprint and make the planet healthy. Another way is to cut back on the amount of driving we do. And one way to do that, instead of driving to work one day a week, is try using your system remotely with GoToMyPC. You can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days by going to GoToMyPC/podcast and click the Try It Free button. It's simple as that. GoToMyPC.com/podcast. That's it for the sponsorship. Let's join Barry McNulty and the Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Project in Northeast Fond du Lac County in Wisconsin. So, Barry, where have you taken us today?
Well, today we've been to the Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Project. It's We Energy's wind farm, if you will. It's the largest wind project in the state that is in operation. It's 88 wind turbines in northeastern Fond du Lac County, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Now, I've noticed driving down US 41 a number of times, there's always been a couple, well, for the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years, there's been a couple of generators off to the left side as I'm driving south to Milwaukee. And, you know, the last couple of years, it seems like they've sprouted up like mushrooms to the west. And now we're actually to the east. People said, you got to look to the east, up towards the east side of Lake Winnebago. You'll see even more. There's 88 in total, you said?
That's correct, Chuck. Actually, the two wind turbines that you were referencing of years ago are still there. That's in Byron, Wisconsin. Those are two very smaller wind turbines that We Energies got into years ago as part of our first venture into wind development. We wanted to use those as sort of a demonstration to get a better understanding of wind power, its benefits, its effects, and whatnot, as well as what the O&M, or operation and maintenance costs, would be, you know, in our climate. And over the years, it certainly has developed, much more so now on the western side of U.S. Highway 41. There's a number of developers, and you see the development occurring on a geographical formation known as the Niagara Escarpment. Many of us would have to go back to our land and geography classes, yeah, that we had, and the Niagara Escarpment. It runs essentially sort of, it has a swoosh or a diagonal from sort of the Manitowoc Ledgeview area of Wisconsin all the way down into southwest Wisconsin. And that turns out to be the most ideal location in Wisconsin for siting of wind generation due to its rolling hills and its height and whatnot, as well as the bedrock in which to put the formations and the bases of these wind turbines.
So, now, if I remember my geography correctly, the Niagara Escarpment is basically a saucer-shaped piece of rock that's under a good chunk of the Great Lakes. So, everybody's familiar with the Niagara Falls that empty from Lake Erie to Lake Ontario. And
and it goes up through the Georgian Bay in Lake Huron, so around the east side. But it also curves around through the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Door County of Wisconsin is actually part of that escarpment. So we're on an extension of that same lip of the saucer, if you will.
Yes, we are, and that turns out to be the most beneficial location in the state for siting wind generation. Many other states you'll go to, you'll see far more larger wind projects than ours. But that's because Wisconsin, in many locations, don't lend themselves to be ideal locations. The Niagara Escarpment, however, in Wisconsin does. It's just ideal for siting of wind generation.
Now, we're standing in what would normally be a cornfield, potato field. Is this you know, We Energy's land, or?
No, this is actually a private farmer's land who actually leases that property to us so that we can have access and build the wind turbine on his property. The wind generation that we see right now is probably, on this sort of cloudy, hazy day, we can see about six or seven total of the entire project and five immediately in our sight line. But this gentleman loves the wind turbines as well because we have access roads to the turbines, which now allow him access to his crops from other locations that he didn't have before. It's also fascinating to come through here when you see the construction. At first, some people are disturbed because they think we're really disturbing the soil, but in reality, our restoration methods have been just terrific, where the farmer will tell you that right now the corn is well beyond the normal height and it's ready for harvesting. It's really neat because really farming can coexist with the generation of power. And often the detractors will somehow try to argue that that's not the case. But I think you see it here that it really can coexist. And quite frankly, the only noise that I'm hearing is the pitter-patter of the rain and the hundreds of folks who have turned out today to learn more about wind power and renewable energy.
I was going to say, there is an enormous amount of people. It's not the most beautiful of days. It's overcast. In fact, some of these clouds are obscuring the blades of this enormous project. How tall are these units?
These units run about 397 feet into the air. So you're roughly talking about just shy of a 40-story building. And they are very large when you get up to them. They are magnificent in many respects. They really are. They tilt towards the wind, and they can automatically shut down if wind speeds exceed a certain wind speed, and that's about 65 miles an hour. They will automatically shut down. The wind blades can turn or pivot, if you will.
Variable pitch.
Variable pitch due to the wind and the resistance of that. So it's really neat how these things have advanced over time, far more so than the two wind turbines we have in Byron. And that's not to besmirch the Byron wind turbines that you see in the town of Byron, just on the eastern side of US 41. But it also shows you just how far we've come as a utility, as a technology, as development occurs. And I think you're going to see that in the future. You're going to just see technology pushed even further.
What is the cost of setting up just one of these units?
You know, I don't have the approximate value. The entire project of 88 wind turbines was about a $200 million investment. So we'd have to do the math
division
there. But yeah, do the division. But basically, you know, you're coming out to, you know, probably a couple million each turbine. But you know, you have about a 30 to 40 year lifespan on these types of things. And you know, it's quite an investment. We're still learning. We're still learning quite a bit as this goes. It's something new for us. We didn't initially design the project. We actually acquired the project from a firm that had started out developing this, but then we're not able to complete it. We needed the energy, so we ventured into it. We've done a lot of community outreach to try to, first of all, explain what it is that we wanted to do, how we were planning to do that. And we received a tremendous amount of input from the neighbors here in this community as to how it could be done better, how it could be improved, how turbine locations can be sited differently so as to continue to coexist with the farming that goes on here in this community and hopefully mitigate or minimize the disruption to people's daily lives.
Is this the extent of this particular project? Are there more plans? What's in the future?
Well, we are certainly exploring possible opportunities to expand this project if the community is so willing to do so. So we've had some sessions with neighbors around the perimeter of this project to see if, in fact, we could expand it. The other area that we're looking right now is we have a project in the town of Randolph, Wisconsin, and Scott, Wisconsin. Those are two townships in northeastern Columbia County where we would like to develop another wind project, a little smaller in scale overall, but we're just in the early stages of basically knocking on doors, talking to the community leaders and the residents to find out whether or not they would be open to having a wind project in their neighborhood as well.
Has there been any resistance to date?
Not on the Randolph Wind project. We haven't had any resistance. I expect to have some. And we certainly will be looking for people's input. But I would certainly expect some. And we'll just certainly work with those folks, try to mitigate whatever concerns they raise, and address those head on.
What sorts of concerns are typically coming up when they hear about these projects?
Well, oftentimes it's just a lack of wanting change in their neighborhood or in their community. It's the issue of dealing with that change. Having a wind turbine out their backyard is very different for them. But what we have found is even those who oppose the project initially, oftentimes people say, you know what, they're not so bad, or I'm just fine with the way this has turned out. The other issues that people raise is concerns that it may be detrimental to the landscape or the soil conditions. Maybe detrimental to migrating birds, maybe detrimental in terms of noise or shadow and flicker. Some of the issues that we have dealt with are TV reception. Oftentimes people who receive over-the-air television may experience some sort of effect on their television reception. So we've dealt with that. We have worked with a local television repair shop and have provided, if you will, mitigation measures so as to restore their television service to what they had prior to us coming to the community. So, you know, it's always in our interest to work with the community to try and mitigate those issues to, you know, the absolute extent that we can. And part of that is when we initially come to a community to develop these projects, we try to identify those issues. People raise issues, we want to try to be as responsive as possible. Doesn't mean that we're always able to resolve every situation, but we certainly are going to go to that extra effort to do everything we can to resolve it to the extent that we can, at least in the most reasonable way.
Is there any type of incentive for these communities to do this?
Well, there are incentives on the state side for any type of power generation, and that's usually known as the utility shared revenue formula. And I don't want to bog people down in something that's really, you know, sort of inside government funding and baseball kind of thing. But what it is it's tax dollars that are paid that go into a fund called the Utility Shared Revenue Fund. And that shared revenue fund then gets dispersed from Madison to communities that host electric power generation facilities. And in this case, they will receive a payment in this community based on the generation that is placed in this location. If it were a coal plant or a natural gas plant or a biomass plant, then they would be paid a certain amount based on that generation capacity and what that produces. So the local community receives a payment as an encouragement to host the community.
Okay.
In addition, they may receive health and safety payments. Those payments could be used to for necessary services maybe that are needed to service. In this case, if you need fire personnel that need to be able to scale one of these turbines mm-hmm. to retrieve an individual who maybe, let's say, has had a seizure or needs medical attention, that the local fire department has the wherewithal to do so. If it were a coal plant or a gas plant, that community has the health and safety payments to compensate them for whatever needed additional equipment that they may need to respond effectively.
Boy, there's a lot to think about on this project, isn't there?
There is. And you know, that's what those dollars flow back from Madison for.
Okay.
Hopefully to either compensate or incentivize the community for hosting, you know, that kind of generation facility. You know, the difficulty with electricity is we often take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of the outlet on the wall. Well, where does it come from? Well, before that. And we do. We take it for granted. And there's nothing wrong with having a high standard of reliability and expectation that we meet that reliability. However, it comes with some trade-offs. We need to be able to invest in our infrastructure. And in this case, we believe that we ought to invest in a variety of generation. In other words, fuel diversity. It mm-hmm. makes no sense for us to put all our eggs in one basket. You know, we shouldn't put all our eggs in natural gas. We shouldn't put all our eggs in nuclear. We should make sure that we keep everything on the table. That includes renewables. That includes investing in technology and new technologies. But we need to make sure that we have a diverse portfolio. Coal, natural gas, wind, solar, biomass, all of these things to bring stability to our customers, as well as fuel diversity to mitigate against, you know, higher costs and fuels.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and Myth confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
What is the output of just one of these generators in terms of households or megawatts?
Each turbine here puts out roughly 1.65 megawatts. The entire site, which is 88 turbines mm-hmm. basically, can provide approximately enough power for the average home. It would equal about 36,000 homes, average homes in Wisconsin. So about 36,000 average Wisconsin homes could be generated by this power.
Excellent. Now I have to, the thing that comes to mind whenever I see one of these, I don't know if you've seen the video on YouTube, I think it was a generator very similar to this in Belgium or the Netherlands, that its safety controls did not shut it down, and the winds picked up, and it literally ripped itself apart. What sorts of safety measures are on these to prevent that from happening?
Sure. I'm not familiar with the YouTube experience that you speak of, but I do know that there are safety measures with brakes and whatnot that automatically shut down the turbine from spinning, so that particular instance that you reference, I've certainly heard about it. I have not seen it or witnessed it, so that would prevent that from happening. It's like anything, you know, certain safety measures have been put in place. You certainly want to have confidence that those safety measures will kick in when appropriate, so that doesn't happen. In addition to that, we have a 1,000-foot setback from each turbine to any building, structure, residence, and the like. Now, we do have several on this site that are less than 1,000 feet. Those are situations where we have waivers with those particular residents up front. They have agreed to a waiver to have the setback less than 1,000 feet. But certainly we take that into consideration when siting, and certainly that's an issue that we have to be concerned with. But I have high confidence in the manufacturer of these turbines from Vestas. That's the product that we actually are utilizing here. It's the V82. The model is the particular model that we're utilizing here on this site. At the next site, we may choose a different model. I don't know. We may use Vestas. We may use a different version of Vestas. We may use other vendors. There's a variety out there. But as this industry has grown, we have seen the technology evolve as well. And I think the safety measures go along with that hand in hand. It's only gotten better. certainly from the experience that you spoke of at the beginning of the question.
There are lights on the top of these. I assume that's for airplanes and things at night. And I noticed at night they all seem to blink in unison. Is that intentional?
I could not speak to the unison aspect of it, but it's certainly FAA approved. The FAA has reviewed the entire site plan and the turbine locations and has identified to us which turbines must have the FAA approved lighting for obviously safety reasons for any aircraft and whatnot. But I can't speak to the unison aspect of it. I know exactly what you're talking about because I've certainly seen the Invenergy site, which is just west of here, as well in the evening. And it appears that you almost see a unison aspect going on. It's almost like...
it's a UFO or something.
Yeah, or stepping back, it's almost like Christmas lights flickering, you know, and at Christmas time when you see them going off at different times. But... it's definitely a key safety measure aspect to this, and the FAA and others have signed off on that as well.
I'm looking out, and I see groups of people heading off down the road. Are there tours going on? Tell me about that.
Yes, there are. We're trying to take tours in clusters of about 25 people at a time. They're walking down the road, which is the access road right now, to the wind turbine. And in fact, there goes a group right now, another group. And what they will do is they will walk up to the turbine, they'll stand below it as the tour guide is giving them information about the turbine and wind development and how the turbine operates. And as they get closer, they will get a chance to probably hear the turbine, which is also another issue we identified that we often hear from residents and
noise
folks.
Pollution.
Noise pollution is often what some will contend. And then in addition, they'll be able to step up and into the tube, if you will, or the base that runs up to the nacelle. The nacelle is where the gearbox is and everything.
Okay.
But they'll actually get to step inside and see some of the computer circuitry and the computer modules that are inside each wind turbine that really control and monitor the performance of the wind turbine. All of that data and all that operation equipment is then fed into equipment here at what we refer to as our operations and maintenance building here in Johnsburg. But it is also fed to an operations center we have down in southeast Wisconsin in Pewaukee, where folks can control the site from there as well, which is helpful. We can monitor the activity, we can monitor the generation capacity that's coming out of here, and we can control it as well and address some of the safety issues that you raised before. But so folks are getting a little tour as they go down. We've had a few folks who also need handicap access, so we've allowed or permitted them to drive down to the base of the turbine and get a good first-hand look as well.
Can we go take a look?
Sure.
All right, we've come up to the base of one of these units, and we're in a bit of a queue for people looking to look in. It almost looks like a lighthouse structure. There's a oval door on the bottom with a base of stairs. And how many bolts is that holding it up? It's got to be 80 or 90.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's probably close to 60 or 80 bolts that are at the base of the turbines. And that's what mounts it to the ground, really, to the base that resides on the ground. But what's neat is you see the crops are capable of growing virtually right up to the transformer box and right up to the base of the turbine.
With the exception of this access road, which I noticed services just this one generator, but yet there are several within eye shot. Each of those has its own access road?
Yes, each turbine in our project has its own access road, and the access road obviously provides us the access that we need from an operations and maintenance standpoint. It's also turned out to be a benefit to the farmer who allowed us to lease the land because, as he told us now, he has one more point to access his corn. And over here, it looks like soybeans of some sort.
That's what I was going to say.
Again, he was very happy about the lineup of this and how we planned the layout. And that's why we try to work with the landowner to say, okay, if we're going to go ahead and site this location on your property, and this is where we would like to do it, how would you like to see that configured? How would you like the access road to run so that we can still get it in here, build it, construct it, restore the property such that it's still viable for you as well as our maintenance needs? And I know that's been a big help for them because, you know, they have very large equipment, you know, with the combines and whatnot to get in here to till the land and then obviously harvest their crops.
This is really neat. It's very unobtrusive.
Yeah, it really is. It's a spectacular sight in many respects. It's sort of serene in many ways. You hear the crickets in the background right now. And you hear the corn sort of flapping with the gentle breeze of a kind of rainy and a little bit foggy and hazy day. But at the same time, you just hear the slight swoosh of the wind turbines going by. Right now, we have, five or six
one,
in our
two,
sight.
Three, four, five, six. Some, one, two, three some, behind us.
Yeah,
easily.
Some fading in and out with the cloud cover going through. But we're at the base of one right here at our O&M building on Mr. Haas's farm.
You ought to be a podcaster. You just gave an excellent description of the corn and the crickets and the swoosh.
Well, and the little bees.
Barry, I'm putting you on the team.
No. It's just neat. It's sort of like an amusement park in a sense. And you said we're in line to go into a lighthouse, and that's true. It's also sort of like an amusement park. Where else would you see people waiting in line on a Saturday in the rain, you know, the pitter-patter of rain here, waiting in line? And I would say 50 deep at least.
Mm-hmm.
And we have at least two more tour groups coming behind us waiting to get inside the little capsule door is how I would describe it. It's much like a sort of a Nassau-esque capsule door.
Well, the base of this can't be more than, 14, 15 feet in diameter.
Right. But the tower comes in three sections, and then you have the nacelle, and then the blades, obviously, with the roto. It's very large equipment that came in over the winter. We had to obviously take certain measures to carry the large equipment over some of the county roads and work with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
That was my next question. How do you get these here?
Well, many of the parts come from different parts of the world. Some came from Europe, some from Indonesia, in through the Port of Milwaukee, and then trucked to this location. Now, some of this equipment specifically actually came in through the port of Green Bay and then was trucked to this location in northeastern Fond du Lac County. But it's quite a logistics affair for our folks to pull this all together, because you're talking about logistics of components, logistics of labor, getting the welders here and the requisite labor that you need to get it up and done. The other is you need very large cranes, the Manitowoc cranes and the like that we use to stand these up and then get them bolted to the foundations. That's quite an undertaking as well. And if you ever have to change out a nacelle, the large box at the top there, you're going to have a crane, and the crane needs access, and that's why you need these access roads as well. So that you can get in and do the requisite maintenance that's required.
I was trying to picture these blades on the back of a flatbed truck, and they're, 100 feet long?
Yeah, they
are.
You
can't just take those through any old county road.
No. Well, you can. you just have to use great care and have a plan about how you're going to move and marshal your resources and do so safely. And mitigate any inconvenience, quite frankly, to the local communities.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was a turbine base that did fall off of a flatbed truck for another project in downtown Menominee Falls, I want to say about a year ago or so, sort of famous, if you will, in local southeast Wisconsin news cycle. And it happened probably around the 4 or 5 o'clock afternoon hour, which couldn't have been worse timing. But why, it was going right through the downtown or right the heart of Menominee Falls at the end of work. And that was quite a challenge, I think, for them to pick that thing up and do so and get it back on a flatbed truck. But, the coordination is extremely challenging, but certainly a great thing going forward. You know, the feedback that we've received from this has been just tremendous. Great deal of questions, but a great deal of enthusiasm as well and excitement. And quite frankly, a lot of people are hearing about it, both in the political campaigns, the discussion of party platforms, energy policy. So they're really anxious to come here and learn something.
That was my inspiration as well. You hear so much about green energies and green technologies and reducing our carbon footprint, the whole thing. And this plays directly into that. So you've got a great PR campaign out there ahead of you.
Sure. That's true. Part of it is education for customers, shareholders, stakeholders, because it's not simple. The wind business is not simple. It's not easy. Many people think, this should be free because, after all, it's just wind. And
right.
And at this point, well, sure, if you want to look at it from an apples-to-apples standpoint, maybe people would say the fuel is free because it's just the air or the wind. But wind generation has its challenges. First of all, you have to make the capital investment.
Yeah.
And second of all, there's a lot of factors, but one of the others that you need to consider is what happens when the wind is not blowing. And oftentimes...
That's a good question.
Yeah, oftentimes, at the time that we need the energy the most for our customers is on those days where it's, those peak hot days of summer.
Yeah.
Well, if you recall back to the peak hot days of summer, oftentimes there's not even a scant of a breeze. And when that happens, wind power isn't really helping you out in that mix. So those are some of the challenges. It doesn't mean we don't need wind power. We need to have it as part of the mix. But those are some of the challenges that we face. If we were to rely on solely wind energy to really power our economy, that's quite a challenge. Wind generation gets added to the transmission system and part of the portfolio that we're dealing with, but you need other generation sources to make up for when the wind is not generating the power that is expected or that could have otherwise been produced if the wind were blowing.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
I like that term portfolio. You captured it exactly what I was thinking from a stock management perspective. You don't invest all of your capital in one investment because, if it goes down, you've got nothing.
That's exactly right. The prime example that you raised for that would be natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
Natural gas is a very volatile commodity, traded daily. The price swings are very volatile. If we put all our generation into just natural gas, the affordability aspect of our product would be too difficult and too great for our customers. So it's incumbent upon us to be thoughtful, obviously, and considerate and manage resources properly. And that is to diversify our portfolio. Make sure that we have our generation coming from the most affordable sources and also the most responsible sources. We think we can do that by putting a little bit in all of the generation sources mm-hmm. that can maximize, essentially, our customers' dollars. That's why we have coal. That's why we utilize nuclear energy, natural gas. That's why we do projects like the Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Project. That's why we're going to pursue other projects, some solar and biomass as well. We purchase a great deal of green energy for our customers through our Energy for Tomorrow program to help foster more projects like this. But fuel diversity is the key, much like you would with your own personal 401k or investments as well. Diversity is important. It helps insulate or protect you from other price spikes There's been obviously an increase in coal costs as well. And as other transportation fuels affect our business, we need to be cognizant of that. And that's why we stress fuel diversity most of all.
All right, I'm standing here with
Pat Kiley.
Pat, what do you do?
I work in the renewable energy for We Energies and also give tours of Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Farm.
I was going to say, today they've got you out in the wonderful weather, don't
yes.
they? How's the crowd?
It's very good. We're very excited. We've had lots of people come through and learn lots of things about renewable energy.
How many?
I'm guessing
rough guess.
500 to 1,000.
That's amazing. All these people brave the weather. It's drizzly at the moment.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's windy.
It's Wisconsin.
Yes.
What are some of the more interesting questions you've had today?
Actually, they're pretty standard. Questions about the height of the turbine, the weight of the different parts, the wind speeds that we see, the amount of energy that the wind farm produces.
And you're giving consistent answers, or are you making this up as you go?
Hopefully I'm being consistent. I try to be anyway.
I know my dad, whenever he'd get customers and they'd ask questions, sometimes he'd make up the answers.
Oh, no, I try not to. In fact, we've got some good cheat sheets, so I'll ask a customer or a tour person if they've got the sheet so I can borrow from it. So, 'cause sometimes I forget some of the numbers.
It's tough getting old.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much,
All right,
Pat.
Thanks.
Now, I've been hooked up with the man, Michael Vickerman. Michael, tell the listener what you do and what your role is.
I am the executive director of Renew Wisconsin. It is a nonprofit organization, has about 340 individual and business members. And though small, we pack a lot of punch on a pound-for-pound basis in the area of clean energy. Our mission is to expand the use of Wisconsin's own renewable energy resources for electricity, for heat, for whatever beneficial use that's applied to it.
What brings you out here today?
Well, Renew has always been invited to We Energy's wind power open houses. For years they were held in Byron, which is a two-turbine project along Highway 41, about 7 miles south of Fond du Lac. And they were quite popular. But we were also invited to this one here, as this project is the largest in the state. It is, it's in so many ways, it symbolizes and reflects the coming of age of wind power in Wisconsin. And we've been working with We Energies, the utility, on a variety of initiatives relating to renewable energy. We helped, we persuaded We Energies to issue a request for a large wind project way back in 2002. At that point, the utilities were still pretty reluctant about wind. And they would say the jury's not out on them, but over the last 5 years, they have learned that wind works in Wisconsin, that it delivers a clean product at an economical price. And now we're here at a project that's 88 turbines instead of two. And even in the midst of some of the dreariest weather I've seen in the last 12 months, I think this event's going to pull in about 600-700 people. They're curious to see how these turbines perform, and so this is a really important day for renewable energy and wind here at this in 2008.
You've got a lot to be proud of.
Well, you know, it's getting past certain hurdles is. In Wisconsin, not the easiest thing to do. There were skeptics. First, the utilities were skeptical. They were very skeptical of any energy resource that they couldn't set on fire to. And then with wind, you have a resource that has a variable output. Some days are windier than others. And they had to figure out how two things. One, how to pay for it, and secondly, how to integrate it into its operations. So they started with the small projects like Byron, which I would call boutique scale. But they found out that that wind was very popular, and some people would actually pay a little more for that electricity if they knew that was coming from a Wisconsin wind power installation. So that persuaded We Energies to hold these open houses once a year. And then further along, well, why not go a little bigger? Let's make this a mainstream energy source. And as in so many cases in Wisconsin, this project had a few naysayers. Not that many, but a few. But We Energies has done an excellent job in organizing its landowners here, talking to the local town boards and the county boards, talking to other environmental groups. And we came together and we all showed our support for this project before the Utility Commission. That was one of the first projects where we actually said, what the utility is doing, we're all for it. And now here we are in 2008, 16 years after our organization was founded. And this is really quite a beautiful site for us.
What have you got your sights set on next?
A number of initiatives. One of them is to improve the economics of smaller scale wind power projects. That is, with two or three or four or five turbines instead of a field full of turbines, 50, 60, 70. The production costs are higher for those kind of projects because there's less energy to spread the cost of renting a crane, for example. Whether you have one turbine or 88 of these commercial turbines, you still have to rent a crane, and that's very expensive. So special rates or tariffs for those kind of projects is a very high priority for us. Another one is to smooth over the siting and permitting process for wind projects. Some areas I've seen very polarizing discussions or basically fights over specific wind power projects. Calumet County, which is the next county to the north of us, it's really kind of devolved into a Hatfield versus McCoy level feud. And what makes that very ironic is that that county can see the Blue Sky Greenfield project. They can talk to everybody who's associated with it, and yet north of the county line road, right now there's an ordinance in place that makes it almost impossible to install these turbines. It specifies very restrictive conditions, longer setbacks, lower sound standards. These were designed to keep wind generation out of that county. So our mission here, or our objective in 2009, is to put in place a proceeding that will standardize setbacks, distances, and other things that go into a wind ordinance, so that it balances health and safety along with the objective of expanding wind power development in the state. We need to strike a balance here. I think Fond du Lac County and the Public Service Commission did a really good job with this project. We would wish that Calumet County's board would see just how respectful We Energies has been of its community, and how silently and efficiently these turbines perform, but if they maintain their a stubborn refusal to accommodate wind generation, we're going to have statewide issued rules to guide the counties and the towns, and hopefully we'll get past some of these stalemates that have occurred in five or six counties throughout Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's been an honor talking to you, and very educational.
Sure. Thank you.
Barry, this has been a real treat today. Thank you very much for talking to me and showing me around.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks, Chuck. It's great. It's encouraging to see all these folks turn out on a dreary, kind of chilly, rainy Saturday. But it just goes to show you that, like I said at the very beginning, a hearty bunch here in Wisconsin. The Badgers don't play till tonight, so they got plenty of time to do something, get off the couch and come out here and learn a little bit more about renewable energy as well as wind power specifically.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, once again, I'd like to thank Barry McNulty from We Energies and Michael Vickerman from Renew Wisconsin for their time to talk about and show me the Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Project. If you want to see some more information, just put in the words Blue Sky Greenfield into Google. They've got some awesome photos on the wind generators and being built and all that stuff. And speaking of being built, this show is built through the generous donations of time, talent, and money of lots of people, and we appreciate every bit of it. If you'd like to do your part, there's plenty of ways, like calling the listener line and leaving a comment. Just call 206-222-2428 in the U.S. or on Skype, that's S-K-Y-P-E, and add Chuck Chat to your buddy list and leave a free message on the internet. You can also leave us a comment on iTunes. Just go to podcasts and search for Technorama and you'll see it there. If your stock portfolio is doing better than mine, you can always leave a modest tip in the tip jar. Just head over to chuckchat.com/technorama and you'll see the donation buttons on the left side, providing you with a couple of options to show your generosity. We love you. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great audio content at Farpoint Media. Go check out the ever-growing world-class family of podcasts at farpointmedia.net. That's all for now. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five. 101.